Once again, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, I propose to go through with you on Josiah. You recall I spoke about it, I think maybe about a month or so ago. So for the benefit of some of you who may not have been here, or who some of you who were here but forgotten, I'll give you a short run-up of where we were. Remember, Josiah was the best king. We read earlier in 2 Kings that there was not one king like unto King Josiah. He was a king that was from a family was ungodly. He was made king at the age of 8 years old. And he was a very good and godly king. He enabled revival in the land. When he came to know the Lord, he went out to destroy a lot of the idols and the groves, whether in Judah, in Jerusalem, but also all the way up to Israel. And where we are, as we fast forward, they were in the divided kingdom. Judah was in the southern kingdom of two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and the northern kingdom was 10 tribes, the kings of Israel. The kings of Israel were wicked kings, right? And now we are in the kingdom of Judah, and where we are considering today is during the 18th year of the king Josiah. So when he was 18 plus 8 means what? 26, roughly Joshua's age, right? This was the time when he found a book in the temple of the Lord, when he wanted to repair the book. And in the book there were curses and there were blessings of God against Israel. And as we read, they never observed the Passover, right? There was no Passover that was observed from the time of the judges. I think the children in Sunday school were going through the judges, right? Even before the kings were chosen. The first king was King Saul. So during the time of judges, even then, they did not observe the Passover. Right, all the way to the kings of when they had the kingdom in the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and all the way to now. And that's when Josiah instituted the Passover. That happened in the 26th year of his reign. Today I would like to break my message into three parts. First of all, Josiah's revival of the Passover, what he did. Secondly, the significance of the Passover, what the Passover meant, right? So you understand the Passover. And thirdly, the Christian's perspective of the Passover. Because, we don't celebrate the Passover. So what's the Christian's perspective? What does it mean for us, right? So first of all, let's consider the first part. Josiah's revival of the Passover. There'll be quite a number of portions of scripture that we will turn to. So if you are at Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35. I hope you've got your finger still on that portion of scripture. I chose that because that gives us a full in-depth detail on what actually happened on that particular day. So turn with me. I'll jump through some of these verses so that you have a better understanding. All right? The Passover is held on the first month and on the 14th day. So 2 Chronicles 35, right? You see, first of all, it is held on the 19th year. Where do we find that? That is on verse 19. It's not chronological. So in the verse 18th year of the reign of Josiah, was this Passover kept? Verse 19. Well, we start a little backwards from the text. Verse 19. And it says, and there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, right? Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah, they were present. Wow. So Josiah brought about, when he was converted, when he was convicted, revival. That's the first thing. He brought about the people to turn to the Lord, right? This was something that, in those days, they didn't have the Bible, they didn't have the scriptures, and they depended on who? The Levites and the priests, to teach the children of Israel what to do. But this was neglected from the time, even the time of the judges. And the non-kingdom, they ignored the word of God. And there was this time of this great revival. And Josiah himself, when he heard the word that of these curses, he was pricked and he commanded, of course as the king, he commanded the entire nation to turn to the Lord. And what did he do? Let's go to the beginning of the chapter. He kept the Passover. What did he do? He, first of all, verse 2. The Passover required many people to participate. He set the priests, number 2, verse 2, in their charges, right? And encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, right? So there are people involved, the priests. The men cannot offer their own offerings. There are two things that were involved. Number 1 is they had to offer a burnt offering, right? Burnt offering was normally an offering of ox, right? And they have to offer an offering so that they are right before God. You have to be right and clean before God. And in the burnt offering is found in Leviticus 1. We'll go through that in a bit, right? And we read that in the text. That is the first offering that must be given. And what is the significance of the first, a burnt offering? The person who gives the burnt offering must bring an ox. The person is to put his hand on the ox as if that he's part, the ox is part of him, and the ox is slain. It's as if the person has died. It's part of substitutory atonement. That means as if the person dies, blood is shed, and the ox is offered and burnt unto the Lord. And when this offering is made, man is then deemed to be right with God. And after the burnt offering, then you have the Passover offering. So there's a separate offering. We read two offerings, right? And these offerings are not to be made by man. You cannot offer the offerings on your own. So the priests, right, and the Levites, verse 3, right, and the Levites, they taught all Israel, they were the ones also who are involved in the Passover offering. Now, over here, what else did Josiah do? Verse 3, right, he said to the Levites, right, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Now, why is it a burden on the shoulders? Because the ark was to be carried upon the shoulders. They had sort of a rod, right, of wood. There were rings around the ark of the covenant that they carried. So what happened was, when there were wicked kings in Judah, right? Remember last time we spoke, they even built altars for their heathen king, for Ashtaroth in the temple. And perchance they then brought the Ark of the Covenant out, because that was the symbol of the presence of God. So sometimes they brought the Ark of the Covenant out of the temple and they built other altars. And you recall Josiah broke down the altars when he went to the temple. He turned away and remember that he even trampled and stamped upon it until it became dust. That was what Josiah did. And so he told them, look, take it all out and restore. Bring the Ark of the Covenant to the Levites. They were the ones who would bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the house of the Lord. And then what? Verse 4. Prepare yourselves and your houses, right? And your courses. That means everyone get ready to offer. Everyone, there's a role. And what can we learn? There's a role for everyone. Even in the Church of Christ. In the Church of God. Right? There's a role. There's a role for evangelists. There's a role for pastors and teachers. There's a role for Sunday school teachers. Likewise, some who serve as ushers. There's a role for us, for each and everyone in the house of God. Some for even to encourage some organists. And I pray that if the Lord put a burden in your heart that you might want to serve Him, you would reckon your talents unto the Lord. There's a role for everyone, right? In the church. Just as there's a role for everyone in the service. So at that time, what was interesting, if you go further down, verse 7. Now remember, when you give the Passover and the burnt offering, it is not cheap. Right? That's the price. Everyone is supposed to give an ox to offer the burnt offering. And for the Passover, they have to offer a lamb. But Josiah was so motivated, he wanted everyone to have the Passover. What did he do? Verse 7. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings. There's no excuse to say, oh, I cannot afford the Passover. No excuse. In those days, they had to work. The Passover offering was done once a year, and perchance they had to work a year, and they had to earn and prepare so that they have a lamb, right, and an ox. But, you know, there's no excuse. Josiah gave. What the Bible say? Gave to the people of the flock, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offering, for all that were present. How much? 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. The bullocks is for the burnt offering, and the lamb for the Passover offering. This was the king's substance. What a generous king. So that he will encourage people to serve the Lord. Right? But more importantly, when he did that, look at what happened. He encouraged other people to serve. And his princess gave willingly. Right? Look at verse 8. Important. And his princess, that means those people around about him also, saw and gave willingly unto the people. They were not commanded by Josiah, right? But when they saw the example of others, they willingly offered their best. Right? Also, to the priests, right? There's the names of all the people who gave. And verse 9 also, right? They talk about Coniah, Shemaiah, all these people, they also gave. Oh, when we give, may we also give willingly, not grudgingly, unto the Lord. The Lord does not require us to be, when we give of our offerings, of our tithes and offerings, grudgingly. Oh, because the Lord commanded to give us a tenth. No. But give willingly unto the Lord. And what a blessing, right? When they see the witness of one, how others would follow. And may it be a lesson for us. May it be a lesson that we be a good witness, and how it can encourage others in the church to serve, to honor the Lord, to give of whatever the Lord had given. And so they all served, and they provided for the Passover. They provide for the Passover. What a great blessing it is. Right? So they killed the Passover. Right? And therefore, we talked about, like I say, in verses 12 and 13, right, you talk about the burnt offering and then the Passover offering. Right? So now let's come into my second part. Right? This shares about what Josiah did and what we too also could do, right, in terms of contributing for the service of the Lord in the church. But importantly, I would like to focus on the next point, which is the significance of the Passover. For that, let's turn first of all to the first time the Passover was mentioned, which is Exodus chapter 12. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. That will be very helpful. It gives us the context. Right? Exodus chapter 12. Right? There are two things. And I shall read. Exodus chapter 12. So put your finger there, because we will turn to it quite often. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is the beginning of the month, the first month. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall ye make your count for the lamb. Meaning, for example, if you have only one person, one or two people, and it's too much to eat a lamb, you can share with your neighbor. That's what it means, right? And verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day. So 10 day to 14 day, you keep for 4 days of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the putrescence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Why? For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Alright, so it speaks of unleavened bread. Amen. Keep your finger there and turn separately to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and I will share that with you so that you have a better understanding. So keep your finger on Exodus chapter 12, and then Deuteronomy chapter 16. Now, Exodus chapter 12 was when they were in Egypt. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 16, is when Moses was given the commandment to Israel before they entered Israel about what they ought to do for the Passover. So what does it say? It says, observe the month of Abib, which is the first month, and keep the Passover unto the Lord. Verse 1, right? For the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Right? So, they are supposed to observe the Passover where? In the place where God shall choose to place his name. So while they were in the wilderness is when the tabernacle was, and before that it was where the Ark of the Covenant was. And eventually the Israelites knew that when they were to go into the Promised Land, a temple was built. That temple was in Jerusalem, and the children of Israel, they were to migrate from wherever they were, whether in the north or south, to Jerusalem to offer the Passover. Now, what happened was, in the northern kingdom, when the kingdoms were then divided, Jeroboam said, oh, wow, if all the people were to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, their heart will be turned away from me, and they will rebel. And so what did he do? He created the golden calf. He said, oh, no need to go to Jerusalem. Ah, this golden calf is God. You can just worship God here and do not need to go to Jerusalem. And because of that, you see that they never worshipped, they never went down. They had to go down to Jerusalem to worship. So guess this gives the context of the Passover. But what is the significance of the Passover? You know, the significance of the Passover was, number one, there was a lamb. Oh, sorry, even before that, they had to keep
unleavened bread.
And as we read earlier in the memory verse, what does the unleavened bread represent? Right? Leaven represents sin. Right? It's that which puffeth up the leaven. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You go to that at home on your leisure, right? And we are to purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump. So you, as you are unleavened. So meaning what? Take away all those things that are sinful. Everything that prevents you from coming towards God. You have to be holy. And that was the message. You have to be holy for 14 days. No leaven. Take away the leaven. Right? And secondly, they have to take a lamb. Why a lamb? And this lamb cannot be any old lamb. This lamb, the Bible says in verse 5 of Exodus 12, must be a lamb without blemish, without spot. Meaning it has to be a perfect lamb. Perfect lamb. And what do you have to do? You have to what? Kill the lamb. Can you nowadays, people have pets and then you put them to sleep. Can you just put them to sleep? No. They put an injection or you drown the lamb. No, the lamb. Yes, lambs will be killed, but you must have the blood. What are you supposed to do with the blood? Right? The Bible says here, right? Ye shall take the blood, verse 7. Right? What should you do, children? Right? Read. You should take the blood and what? Strike it on the left doorpost, right doorpost, top of the lintel. It's like the sign of the cross. Right? Sign of the cross. Left doorpost, right doorpost. And the top, the when you put it on the top, the blood will come down, right? Sign of the cross, you shall put the doorpost throughout Israel. Why? Because there's judgment to come. Judgment to come on this night. God will judge the land of Egypt. Alright? And Moses and Aaron was commanded to communicate this throughout all the children of Israel. Tonight there will be judgment. If you want to escape judgment, you have to follow this. Why? Because the lamb must be killed for the propitiation or atonement for your sin. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, verse 12, when I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Doesn't matter whether Egyptian or Israeli. Right? If you disobey, and you don't put the blood, right? The land that night will be filled with cries. Right? But, the Bible says in verse 13, the blood shall be to you a token upon the house where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's why it's called Passover. Right? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's the promise God gave. When there's blood atonement, there's sacrifice for sin, God will pass over that house. And that was a message. Right? That you obey, you look unto the Lamb of, there is a Lamb of God that takes away your sin, therefore you will be saved. And that was the message. Right? And this, verse 14, shall be to you, verse 14, and you shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord throughout all your generations. That means the father is to teach the son, right, the implication of this sacrifice. Why are we doing all this? Because in that day, the Lord execute judgment. And the only way to avail and to escape that wrath of God is to have that lamb killed for us. And what's the significance? And as we sung this morning, the significance to us is the Lord Jesus Christ is that Paschal lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, so the Passover sacrifice in those days was what you call a shadow. It was sort of not the complete sacrifice that was given, but a shadow of things to come. And therefore, it was something that was representative of something even better, right? That Christ himself will come, and the Lord Jesus Christ will take upon the sin of the world. And we'll come to that as the meaning for Christians. But for you today, I will ask you this question. Judgment is coming upon the world today as well. And God will execute judgment in his time. Just as he executed judgment in the time of Egypt, In that day, when the Spirit of the Lord, of God came, those who obeyed, right, the Jews could have told their Egyptian friends, hey, tomorrow, tonight there's judgment. If you want to escape the judgment, kill the lamb. Put the blood on your doorpost, on the left and on the right, and on the top of the lintel, and you will escape the judgment of God. There will be some who will mock and laugh. And say, oh, that cannot be the case. And there were some there who will obey. For those who obey and who listen, who are convicted, and believe, judgment was stayed and passed over them. But for those who did not, oh, there was a wailing cry that night because judgment was passed upon them. So, for you, I ask today, when judgment comes, judgment is coming, do you have your own Passover lamb? Do you have a Passover lamb for yourself with whom you can claim the blood that is upon your doorpost and your lintel, and that you can eat of the Lamb of God? And therefore judgment would pass over you. Right? Who is that lamb? That lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the morning earlier this day, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was made, given as a lamb for us, right? So as to take away the sin of the world. So you might ask, so is the Passover, should Christians celebrate the Passover? Right? Well, the Passover was observed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? If you turn with me very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that is also what we consider during the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Passover just before he was betrayed. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Right? And here the Apostle Paul writes, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So, the difference is, in the Passover, they have to do it once a year. Right? But here, the Lord Jesus Christ asks us that we should remember him. What? How often? As oft as ye meet where we can. Right? So why is it that Christians don't observe the Passover and do the Lord's Supper? Turn with me. What's the difference, right? To Hebrews chapter 10. Right? Hebrews chapter 10, and we consider that, and I hope this will give you a better understanding of our current practice. Hebrews chapter 10. Right? This will be the last section of passages that we will be turning to. I know it, I refer you all to quite a number of verses, but this will help you to understand why is it that we don't do the Passover, but we consider the Lord's Supper. And what's the difference between both? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make their comers perfect. Meaning, the law, the practices of the sacrifices they offer year after year, including the Passover, including the burnt offering, they are just a shadow of something that is to come. It's not the real thing. It's not the real image, right? Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Well, if it's perfect, why do they have to keep offering this? Is the question, right? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Meaning, if they are already perfect, if the sacrifice was already accepted, why is it that they have to keep offering this? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when he, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book of as written, to do the will, to do thy will, O Lord. Right? And going further down, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, who? The Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Right? Verse 14, and by one offering he had perfected for them, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So what does it mean to this? Right? The Old Testament offerings and sacrifices, the burnt offering and the Passover offering, they had to do that year after year, because that was just a shadow of something which is to come. And that's what people believe, that okay, there will come a time that there will be a Lamb of God, there will be a Messiah, that they will offer a perfect sacrifice, and we'll do it imperfectly, right, for the moment, until that perfect sacrifice comes. Right? And when the perfect sacrifice comes, we don't have to do it year after year, continually to be right with God. But this Lamb of God that will come, that is the Messiah, that will be a perfect sacrifice, once and for all will take away the sins. And dearly beloved, I say unto you, that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore I say unto you today, that have you prepared yourself to partake of the Passover lamb? Have you eaten of his flesh, and have you drunk of his blood? Has his blood covered you? Is his blood over your post on your left and your right and upon the lintel? Are you under the Passover lamb? If you have not today accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not called upon Him as your Savior, if you have not fully put your trust in Him and turned away from your sins, I pray today, let this be the day that you will call upon the Lord. Let this be the day that you will say, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner, and I will put out your leaven, and I will cast out all my sins, I will turn and repent from my wicked ways. And I will be unleavened, and I will be the unleavened bread, and I will eat of the living bread, and I will eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Oh, be thou my lamb to take away my sin. Let today be the day. Doesn't matter how young you are, you can be 8 years old, you can be 20, you can be 50, you can be 80. Look to the Lord today and be saved. Oh, I pray that you will be like those who will hearken to the call to escape the judgment to come. Judgment is coming. Find solace in the blood of the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world. Therein is the Christian's practice of the Passover. We don't practice the Passover because we believe in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ once for all. And I pray today you will find blessing if you hear His voice to answer it, that you might be safe. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the opportunity to consider the Passover lamb. We thank Thee, O Lord, Thou didst provide him for us. Oh, what a perfect work that Thou didst give him, the just for the unjust, that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. So today I pray, O God, that if there be one that is far from Thee, that Thou wouldst call, that Thou wouldst call that soul to repentance, that they may be under the blood of the Lamb. That when Thou see the blood, Thou wilt indeed pass over us,
So I pray that everyone gathered here, let there not be one who is outside the covering of the blood of the Lamb, that in the day when thou comest, we might rejoice in the seeing of the blood of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that thou would speak to each and every soul and convict us to look to him with praise, with honor, and with blessing. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.